Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
You ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health. Not just steps, real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second-guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit HumeHealth.com to get the Hume Band today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, to the spirit of a father who loved his children returned to help them through life. That's the question we asked today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. And if you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
Heat of the holiday season now, aren't we?
We are. We are just about to enter the holiday season, yes. And I must say to our listeners, we just did this episode and then the whole goddamn thing crashed. We recorded it. We did it. And then I was like, oh my God, what happened to it? So here we go again. Take two on everything we talked about. But yeah, here we are. We're at the peak. We're the beginning of everything. This is airing November 29th. But we're recording this like on November 1st, so just the end of Halloween.
So let me ask you this, because you've got a daughter, obviously, yeah. You get into the Christmas spirit and all that kind of stuff. If you didn't have Harper, do you think you'd celebrate it that much?
Halloween?
No, Christmas.
No. Halloween, definitely.
Halloween's our favorite holiday, yeah. I'm sure. But
Christmas, I don't know. I mean, I would do a tree and all that stuff, but... I think I really, as a kid, I enjoyed, my mom made a big deal out of it and she really made it fun. And honestly, like Thanksgiving, she made a big deal out of, and she made it kind of neat. And she would always like, when we did the turkey, she made it like almost, I don't know any way to say this, but it was like, there was candles, it was lower lights. I don't want to say it was like romantic, but it was like more of an intimate dinner. And I always like, I love that. I thought it was so neat to kind of have that sort of atmosphere. So as an adult, I love that atmosphere. And so I ended up like trying to make that, you know, quite often, even just for like date nights and stuff. But as an adult without Harper on the other ones, I don't know. I try and make all the holidays fun and to make them memorable so that she wants to celebrate them with her kids and have a memory there.
God, you're such a good dad. I'm proud of you, because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. Occasionally. And in fact, in the last year, I'm like, maybe I should adopt. But then I realize I'm too damn old for that. And then I'm
such a good dad.
I would be horrible at it, because I don't care about, yeah, I'd be bad at it because I don't care about any of that. I don't think I'd care about like their experience You know, I'd be like, Thanksgiving, who needs that kind of stuff? You know,
but it's different when you focus in on somebody that you care about and you want to make those moments special, which you do to people that you give a shit about. It would be different if there was a kid there or something like that. And you are great at that. I mean, I can speak from my own experience. I was a kid and you were so good to me of
look how you turned out as an adult.
Exactly. I'm crazy as shit. Yeah, but you were like my crazy fun uncle or something. And you taught me so many things. But you made so many things are so fun that you could have been like, I don't care, like whatever. And I have so many memories of childhood that were so positive because of you. I mean,
oh my God, what the heck is going on tonight?
I know.
Welcome to the Oprah Winfrey Show tonight on the show.
Shit. Yeah. later on, Dr. Phil will join us and then Tony will unload a whole bunch of other shit of the weird people that were also surrounded by Tony and Todd over the years that were not so positive.
If I ended up on Dr. Phil's show, I would probably commit suicide because that would be the very low point of my life right
now. You were more like the best big brother, because I know siblings. You were the best big brother I ever had.
And oh, that's sweet.
So you taught me so many cool things about radio and that I can never repay. But I mean, that's you got me where I am. But
well, you've made me make up my mind. I'm going to go out and adopt a kid. I'm just going to get it
good.
Done.
Have fun. That kid will be fucked. But anyway. No, I'm kidding. But we had some fun. But we had some weird people that we met along the way, too. I mean, there were some fucking clusters. I mean, oh, my goodness. You know, there were we had the man who was named the Love Doctor.
Oh, my gosh.
And oh, my goodness. There were some clusters. But I mean, but with anything, you know, in life or a career, I mean, you run across some interesting individuals.
The sad part for me as I get older, I'm losing a lot of those great memories. And so I have to have conversations constantly to remember stuff. Like on the podcast that we recorded that died.
Yeah.
We were talking about the fact that you were doing an overnight show for me on one of the stations. Yes. And you would play cow sound effects in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Now, I would have totally forgotten that story if you had not brought it up.
Yes.
So I appreciate people remembering stuff for me at this point in my life.
Oh my goodness. So here's the story on that. So when I was 14 years old, Todd put me on the air and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But I knew I wanted to be on the air, but I've been pretending I was on the air for the last like 7 years in my basement with a recorder and a boombox. So I had a little bit of experience, probably more than most, because that's why they hired me at the station, because it's like this kid knows like all the station logos and positioning statements and what the hell's wrong with this kid.
You were actually very well developed walking in the door at 14.
I did, because I've been pretending to do it in my basement forever. And then I started working at the station. I was pretending I was working at. And then I had this overnight show, but it was pre-recorded. So you do it in a production room and you do it without, you're not doing it live. But you see the song you're talking into and the song you're talking out of. And I would have my friends call me in the production room. Keep in mind, I'm 14 years old. This is like 1997. And so I'm making fake phone calls on the air. And I'm trying to like make it sounds really fun and exciting on the air. So I'm playing sound effects. And there's this one thing. I remember playing the sound of cows mooing up the ramp of a Celine Dion song. And me and Todd driving back from DJing a wedding when I was like 15. And there's like, it's like Celine Dion. And there's, hey, we want to hear, I want to hear Celine Dion, The Power of Love. And then there's like, and the whispers in the morning. It's the most fucked up intro you've ever heard in your life.
I almost drove off the road and I remember saying, don't ever do that again.
Yes.
Do you remember why you were doing that? Do you remember who gave you that inspiration?
I think it was like WIXX, wasn't it? It was like Ben LeMay or something.
Ben LeMay did a wolf howl.
Yeah, it was a wolf howl. Yeah, it was a wolf howl thing. Yeah.
And so you thought you'd be cool and do a cow-mowing, which,
yep.
you know,
yep.
come on.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was, and again, I wouldn't have remembered that story if you hadn't mentioned it earlier, but as soon as you started talking about it, I was like, I was back in the car
yeah.
driving home.
We were driving a Jeep. It was a brown Jeep.
Yeah, exactly. And we went to a wedding in the middle of nowhere at a yes. very scary location.
We've talked about that experience on the show before, too. The weird, like, in the middle of nowhere wedding.
Everybody had a banjo. That's all I'm
going
to say.
It was like we were going back in time.
And then to hear you on the air was like, cool, here's this kid, you know, in the seat with me here. And we're driving back and we're going to listen to a show. Little air check session yeah. with the program director.
Yep.
And there's a freaking cow moving on my station. Don't ever do that again.
It was the most bizarre night ever. And one of the most fun nights I'll ever remember too.
Great memories.
It was so much fun because I so idolized you, and just to hear you giving your feedback, but then like, oh my God, I fucked up.
Yeah, but I did pull you off the air because I needed somebody on the shift. So
I know.
You still had a job.
I know.
Oh, here's the other thing he would do. If he hasn't told you this story, he'd pretend he was Delilah and he would sing his own jingles, and then he'd play the part of Delilah. Do the voice. Can you do the voice?
Hi, it's Delilah. Love someone tonight. But the thing is, what I would do, and this was after you left, because I ended up doing the nights on the rock station across the hall.
Right.
And on 96.1 TCX. And the thing is, the phone lines would light up for the adult contemporary station, Sunny 97, across the hall. And I could still answer them in the rock station studio. So I would answer them as Delilah on the rock station. And then I would do a whole like Delilah session and totally lead people like into the gutter, and then air the call and then play like some rock song out of it.
I cannot believe you got away with half the stuff you got away with.
And then Tara would call, and our boss would call me like, that was hilarious. That's great.
If they only knew.
Oh my God. I don't know how I got away with it. Cause I look at some of these things and I just cringe, and I'm like, oh my God, but it was so much fun. We had so
You lived a very charmed life. Just believe that.
I think
you really have. I mean, think about it. You've had a very charmed life.
I got away with so much shit. I mean, I had so many people around me that really just like kind of got the humor and were like, cool, do it. And I was, yeah, I mean, it was, I didn't know what I had back then. It was so fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Daniel Abbey. I am from Ontario, Canada. I have a story that is a little sad, actually, but it's very nice at the same time. So my grandmother had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and she passed away in early March of this year. Well, when she died, the day that I heard, like I found out that she died, I saw two figures standing at the edge of my bed, and they were about 33 years old. And one was my grandfather. He passed away in 1986. And the other one was my grandma, and I knew who they were, and I saw them, and they both floated right in front of me. I saw them standing at the edge of my bed. I told my wife, I tried to get her attention, and she was still sleeping. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I saw them, and they were there 1 second and gone the next. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Wasn't very frightening because I knew where they were and who they were. The other thing that I saw was when my wife was in labor, her great-grandmother had passed away the day that our daughter was born. And we were in the hospital room and we saw a pink orb that was sitting on the chair. It sat on the chair and then it flew up and out of the hospital room into another room, and then it was gone. And that's what I saw, and my wife saw it, and it wasn't frightening. It wasn't at all scary, but it was a very, very cool experience, and that was the end of it. That's all we saw. And I have a lot more stories. I'm probably going to call in again, but those are the two that I have for now. Thanks for taking the time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing your story. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, I always hear stories like that and they're so touching. And I think it's wonderful to know that someone that you loved, like your grandparents or a mother or father or them as a couple, after they pass, that they're back together. And I know that I mentioned earlier to you, you know, how does that change in our world? The typical family is no longer just a set of parents with two sets of grandparents, but now we have two or three, you know, sets of families that come together, and there's all these grandparents and all these different equations of parents and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How does that change as you move forward? Like, what sets of parents will come to you? I mean, that'll be kind of interesting.
It is, because it opens up so many more things, because for so many generations, it was just like, there's this set, there's that set, and that's it. But in the last, you know, however many years, like, we're talking about, like, a lot of kids have having, like, there's like four sets of grandparents or this or that or more. And it's just, it's so much more open. I'm not saying it's bad or wrong. It's just the dynamic of what we're dealing with. So how much more are we likely to then have those sort of situations happen?
Well, and I also, I'm a firm believer in this. I think that even the relationships you have in life, once you're gone, I think that all wrongs are righted. And I'll bring this up. When my mom passed away, my mom and dad were fierce fighters.
Yeah.
I don't know that there was any love lost in that relationship. Even weeks before she passed away, she was steadfast in not telling him that she loved him.
Yeah.
That's how rough it was.
Yeah.
Days before she died, there's a picture of them sitting on her bed while she's, you know, her last days, and they're holding hands, and she finally said, "I do love you."
Mm.
And so I'm glad that happened before she passed, but I still think, even as rough as they had a relationship, I think that when he finally passes, they will have that love again. Even if they're not together completely, I think everything is okay again once you pass away.
At the core, it's there. I mean, how much do you think? I mean, obviously, you know, you saw like kind of the roughness of it, you know, but you saw the love too, you know. But I mean, how much of it do you think it was just, you know, behind the scenes? Did you, I mean, as a child, I mean, as an adult child, did you, how much was, you know, as much as you would see like kind of the rough of the arguing and things like that? I mean, I feel that same way too. Like, I feel like there's a lot of arguing and stuff, but at the same point, it's like, there's a lot of love there, but it's like, I don't see it half the time because they're so, they just have their openness of like arguing with one another. It's different than like what I would, I guess, do with one another.
Yeah. But the thing was, they were still together.
Yeah.
And while my dad was going through problems with Alzheimer's and stuff, my mom was there. While she was going through cancer problems, he was there. So like, they hated each other, but by God, they were going to be together till the end. And they were. So.
Well, I mean, was it hate? It was just like, I love you, but we got our things, but we know we're so much happier with one another. And
if you heard some of the arguments, you would know that it was outright hate.
Okay.
They would start on a Friday night after something happened. Like, my dad,
I'm trying to make it nicer than anything, but
I realize, but you know, they would start Friday night and it would not end till Sunday night.
Really?
Before midnight. Wow. Oh man, it was horrible.
Oh but gosh. Okay.
Good stories.
Okay. I won't try and spin it anyway. Just trying to be nice. Let's go to the next caller. Hi. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hello, this is Chris from Alabama. I got another story for you. This one happened when I lived in Greenville with my parents. And I had been out of high school, and we lived on this street that was right off the main street. And it was an old house, I guess built back in probably the 20s. It had like this... looked like it was like a Spanish type of house, you know, with that type of Art Deco look, you know. And we lived there, and I remember sleeping in my bedroom, and I feel like somebody was in bed with me because I could feel the breathing and everything. And one night I was sitting in the living room, and I listened to a lot of blues music and stuff, so I was listening to Ma Rainey at this time, and I saw this shadow go across the wall. It was like in the upper part, above the TV and everything, and it didn't scare me, I guess. Just startled me a little bit, and so I just continued listening to the music, went out to the street, and the front yard is like a small front yard, so it's not too far up from the door to the street and then the sidewalk. So I was looking up and down the sidewalk, and then the door slammed behind me. And I run to the door and open it, and I rushed to the bedroom where my daddy was and asked him, "Did you slam that door?" Daddy said, "I thought it was you. I thought you were mad about something." I said, "No, wasn't me." And my mother was in the shower, so she didn't do it, And then another instance, another Friday, and me and my daddy are talking, listening to Neil Young, and daddy's having a couple of beers, and his eyes look wide, and I said, "What's wrong, daddy?" I said, and he points his finger and said, "Look behind you." And then see this woman go into the hallway, and my mama sees it too. I get the tail end of it. I didn't get a good glimpse at it, but he said it looked like a humpback woman that went into the hallway. And so I started doing some research on the house. I had been doing my family history at this time, so I figured I had to figure out who lived on the street around the 60s and all, what have you. I found out it was this woman named Claire Almond. So I go looking through newspapers and find a picture of her, bring it home to dad. I said, and show him the picture, didn't tell him who it was and everything. And he said, "That's the woman I saw." And it turns out the woman was like this boss lady that worked for that my grandmother worked under, about years ago, but she had died in Georgia and hadn't died in the house. I guess she was just attached to the house, but evidently she doesn't like blues music, I guess. But that was interesting. Another story about that same place is I had an out of body experience at the house. I floated out of my body, and I went into the kitchen and watched my dad cook a breakfast, and then went out to the street sidewalk and flew up and down the sidewalk and came right back in the house. And that's about it about that place. But y'all keep up the good work, and I love the show. And I've started listening to The Dark Side of Wikipedia too. So I love both of the podcasts. Might start listening at Grave Talks. All right, y'all take it easy.
Thank you for sharing those stories with us. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like stories where you can have an experience, and if you do a little digging around or research, you can find something that kind of backs up your story. And in this case, to find the owner of the house and know that person's name and stuff like that, it'd be interesting to know, like back then, to be able to go back and try and communicate with that individual and have more things actually happen. But it sounds like that was many years ago, and probably at that point, people weren't necessarily as into or knowledgeable about paranormal research or how to go about it and stuff like that. But I'd love to go back to that location today with that name and information and see what we could find.
Feels like there's so many stories like from the past where we look back and it's not even that far back, like 10, 15 years, where it's like there's so many things that point to paranormal, but like nobody was like really digging into it that deeply at that moment in time.
Yeah, I think I saw some research like that maybe like 42% of people believe in ghosts and stuff nowadays. So it's still not a large percentage of people who believe in that kind of stuff. But I think as we go forward and there's more technology, we're believing more in things like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and UFOs and aliens and paranormal research when it comes to ghosts and entities.
Yeah. I just got a interesting text tonight. My friend Andrea Perrin, who's from The Conjuring, she was one of the daughters of that story. We're friends. We text back and forth all the time. And she just was back at the house this last weekend with her dad. And they did like a whole investigation together. And I just said, how did the weekend go? I just texted her today. Just as friends, she's like, I got like a scary face text, OMG, and then like big eyes.
That's going to be a good story.
And I just said, okay, we'll talk soon. I just texted her pictures of me and Harper over the weekend and just said big love and all that. But I can only imagine how that went. I mean, it was, because I mean, her dad's not a huge fan of going back to that place.
And right. I was just going to say, I didn't think he really liked going back because of everything that went down. Did that place ever sell?
They're selling it again. It's on the market right now.
Right. I was wondering if it actually sold yet or not.
Not yet. No. It's they want like $1 million something for it. So yeah. We'll see.
Would you? Like, if you had the cash to just drop down, would you go take it?
I thought about it.
Really?
But I'm like, I'm not close enough to do it. I mean, if I was closer, I probably would buy it. But it's in New England. I mean, I'm nowhere near it to like take care of it. And I don't feel like I have like the trust to like have someone else take care of it. So if I was closer, I'd probably buy it and use it and, you know, run it as a museum or something. But I'm not in any place to move out that way right now. And I wouldn't spend the money on it, something like that. But
I just worry about, you know, if it's a family moving in there and they know what they're getting into, I get that.
Yeah.
But to go out there, I always fear places like that and opening them up to the public and all that kind of stuff, because there's a lot of lay people that go out and research and really aren't necessarily all that concerned about what they might unearth, you know.
Well, I've been saying that about the place the whole time. I mean, the whole time that the recent couple has had it, I've been like, what is the restrictions here on this place? Like, because so many people have gone in there and they've made their own little documentaries and all that. And it's been like just the most like hoarded out documentary place in the last couple of years. And I'm sorry for saying it like it is, but it is. It is what it is. Over the last couple of years, it's been hoarded out by people thinking they're making documentaries and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. And some have been okay, some have not, but it's just been like over the top. And
I just worry about what, you know, they could unearth in there. You get the wrong person the wrong thing.
But what I've been like learning more and more over the last years, it's like, even if you're there, there's nothing going on there negatively, you can just conjure it up by being there and by being, yes, and by calling those things up and kind of, you know, feeling that way. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just, it's not a place that I really want to screw with that much. I mean, I'm curious. I'd love to go out there someday. I mean, Andrea has said that me and her and Harper should plan a trip sometime to go out there, just the three of us, and do our own thing. And just kind of walk around peacefully and talk about this place and learn about it in a totally different way than anyone else has done. And I think
that'd be a great idea.
I think it'd be so much fun. I think it'd be so interesting. I think it'd be very interesting with Harper just to get her take on it as a child and her feelings, and not in this scary Uber thing, just totally different. And maybe someday we'll do it. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it all depends like what happens with the new owners and all that, but I mean, me and Andrea are going to be friends forever. So, I mean, whenever we go down to Florida, we're going to go down and see Andrea. And next time we're going to go over to her place and she wants to cook for us and have dinner and all that. That's what she said.
Oh my God. Like I said, you lived a charmed life, my friend.
I meet friends. That's all it is. It's just meeting people. And
does she realize you impersonated Delilah? I mean, does she know this stuff about you?
I think she knows how dark I can be. I think she does. Yeah. And she loves me. But we've been friends for almost 10 years, you know, I mean, she knows my weird sense of humor, but maybe not as dark as I can be sometimes, but but oh, she's Lord. Like, no, next time you come, like, come over. We're going to, we'll cook dinner. And she's like, last time we were there, she was like, she was rescuing an alligator out of her backyard, literally, because there's so many alligators down there and they get stuck and then there's nobody that's going to take care of them. And so she was helping to lead one out and like, oh my goodness. Yeah. So anyway, it's a crazy world, but no, she's a great woman. And I, it'd be very fun to kind of dive into more of those stories in a deeper aspect, more than we have already. We've already been definitive on so many of them on the Grave Talks. If you want to hear the story of Andrea Perrin and The Conjuring, and you want to hear like this, the true, just raw account, check out other podcasts, The Grave Talks, and you will hear our interviews, several of them over there. But it'd be so fun to dive into it, like in, like at the location.
Right.
I think it'd be really interesting. But anyway, all right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on there. Become an extra podcast person on EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us on there. Get all the bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, the ebook, the audiobook, the Amazon bestsellers, all of it. It's there for you to binge away on. And it's all part of being an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.